And good afternoon, GRN listeners across the South and Central Texas listening area. This is your live, this is your local program. This is In His Vineyard. I'm Gordy Zambrano, your general manager for the Guadalupe Radio Network, South and Central Texas listening area. You can hear this program every Monday at noon right here on your local GRN station or online at grnonline.com or, of course, on the free Guadalupe Radio Network app. Join us on Facebook. Our page is at GRN South and Central TX. Hit that like, follow button, and you can see everything that we're doing. Want to thank everyone tuning in from Marble Falls, Fredericksburg, Kerrville, Uvalde, and right here in beautiful San Antonio. We're grateful that you've decided to spend this hour joining us in getting caught up on all things Catholic in South and Central Texas. Now, on this program, as you know, we try to bring you a variety of informative discussions highlighting different people, ministries, and events going on in the Archdiocese of San Antonio and parts of the Diocese of Austin. On today's program, it's going to be an exciting one because Mama Gina Cartwright and Steve Cartwright have come in from St. Jerome, and they have brought their good friends over at, I'm going to call it CUB, but it's Communities Under the Bridge. And so in studio, I got Valerie Narvaez. She is here, executive director. And Dominic Yanis, he is here as well, executive administrator. And so we're going to be talking about CUB, the Communities Under the Bridge, what they're about, what they do, and how they meet the needs of the homeless in San Antonio, those that do not have a home, that are living on the streets, that we need to care for and help them get back to a, you know, back to a living, you know, a better situation in their living situation. So we're going to talk all about that. I can't wait. Now, the second part is going to include Bobby Contreras. Bobby's a good friend of the GRN, and he's going to be talking about Father Peter Presakevich, okay? That's a hard last name to say, but Father Presakevich is going to be here. He's visiting St. Helena on Tuesday, April 14th, and St. James and Seguin, and there may be others too, but Bobby's going to come sit in, talk about, you know, what Father Peter's going to be talking about at his, you know, at these parishes. It's going to be pretty cool. So he'll come in the second half. So I'm really looking forward to these conversations and thankful to our guests for, of course, coming into the studio. But before we begin those conversations, let's get today's program started the way we do all things, and that's in prayer. And remember, as we pray, ask the Lord to make his will known to you and for the grace to accomplish his will in loving obedience. Want to pray for, you know, our Archbishop Gustavo. Want to pray for Bishop Yannick, Bishop Cepeda, priests, deacons, seminarians, nuns, sisters, all the religious out there. Pray for our country, our Pope, our president. Okay. Want to pray for peace. And want to make sure everybody, we include everybody in our prayers, especially I'm going to tell you about the priestly ordination of three seminarians that's coming up. So actually three deacons. So we'll talk about that in a bit. So let's start in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear God, may everything we do begin with your inspiration, continue with your help, and reach perfection under your guidance. With your loving care, lead all of us in our daily actions. Help us to persevere in love and sincerity. Bless us with an abundance of courage in proclaiming your holy name and the teachings of your church. Grant us the grace to do your will in loving obedience. Heavenly Father, keep us under your constant protection and draw us, our families, and our loved ones ever closer to you. We ask all this through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So just like that, we are up and running. Want to thank, this is a big, huge thank you, because last Thursday, 300 of our good friends, supporters, family, you know, you name it, were at my Fishers of Men dinner. It was the 19th annual Fishers of Men dinner, and it was a huge, huge success. And I want to thank everybody who bought you know, who attended, purchased seats, purchased tables. I want to thank Bishop Gary Yannick. He was there. He did the blessing of the meal. He was there the whole time, and it was so exciting to, you know, be sitting at the same table as Bishop Gary. And also, we had priests. I want to thank our priests that came out. Father Juan Molina was there. Father Carlos Velasquez. I mean, there was a lot of priests there. Deacons, seminarians. Our Salesian sisters were there. They looked so beautiful. I took a great big picture with them. It was awesome. Sister Mota, thank you for bringing you and yourself and your friends, your fellow sisters. It was a joy to see all of you. And, you know, if you donated during our pledge, want to thank you for your one time, your monthly. And of course, want to thank the individual. I don't want to say his name on the air, but he who won the image. It was a beautiful image to win. And I'll be talking to him today. So also want to thank our committee, our Fishers of Men committee, all of our volunteers. A big thank you to you as well. And our keynote speaker, Matthew Leonard, was just incredible. I mean, he 45 minutes. It didn't even feel like 45 minutes. It went by so quickly because he was so interesting. Matthew Leonard, if you don't know who he is, go check him out. I guarantee it won't be a waste of your time at all. He was our keynote. And then our honoree, Father Carlos Velasquez from the cathedral. Great to see Father Carlos. And of course, our GRN family, Toya Hall, did such a fabulous job on the appeal. And Sammy Rodriguez Jr., our president, you know, introducing Father Carlos. And, you know, it's a blessing to have them two both there in from Midland. And, you know, also our vice president of mission development, Mr. Sean Rice, was there. Thank you, Sean, for everything you did and helping to make it a success. And Kimberly Beck, our own Kimberly Beck, assistant mission development. She did a fantastic job putting all this together, getting all the tables coordinated. It's a big task. And we're starting on next year's already. We have a date for next year. And we're going to have, I'll tell you this, our keynote's going to be the dynamic Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. So I think at the dinner, I had like 10 to 15 people already say, I'm coming back. The food was fantastic, absolutely delicious, did a great job. So want to thank once again everybody for a successful 19th annual. We're going to go on 20 next year. Okay, so what's coming up? Priestly ordination from the Archdiocese of San Antonio. They joyfully announce and invite you to attend the priestly ordination. If you've never been to one, they're beautiful. Incredible. It's going to be the ordination of Deacon Luis Alonso de la Cruz, Deacon Luis Horacio Gomez Bustamante, Deacon Jose Edgar Hernandez Suarez. And this is going to take place, okay, Saturday, April 18th, St. Mark the Evangelist at 10 a.m. Most Reverend Gustavo Garcia Sillet is going to be leading. Archbishop is going to be there, of course, and it's going to be a beautiful day. Want to congratulate all three, and if you can make it, St. Mark's, Saturday, April 18th, 10 a.m. Okay, so that was my intro, and now I can turn the mics on and the cameras over to our guests so that they could talk, and I don't have to talk anymore. So want to welcome, first of all, Mama Gina. And I think you're going to give us kind of a preview of what we're going to talk about. Mama Gina, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, Gordy. I need some sleep. We just did that Love Strong marriage retreat in Eagle Pass. It's so dynamic. Yeah. It's so intense. And I just do things for the Lord. But I did go to sleep at 8 o'clock last night. I don't think I woke up until 7. I didn't even stay up to see if the Spurs won or lost. But I heard. I want to preface our discussion today. It's not something that I'm going to be talking so much about because I have some experts here in the house. I have some very loving brothers and sisters in Christ that are going to give us some information. But I want to start off with the fact that we have the scripture of Matthew chapter 25, verse 40 that I've tried to live up to. And yes, people, that was my husband's phone who didn't turn it on silent, and he's not in the
room. That's all right. I got it.
Okay. Anyway, hi, Steve. We'll talk later. Okay, so Matthew 25:40, whatsoever you do to the least of my brother, that you do unto me.
Unto me.
And I believe anytime I'm I'm in a ministry. I want to take that and remember that I'm not doing it for any pats on the back. I'm doing this for Jesus.
Right.
And I've learned that through our St. Jerome's Catholic Ministries, whether it's ACTS or OCIA, marriage prep, whatever it is. It's not about me. And humbly, I'm thanking the Lord for letting me be his hands and feet. But him and I are talking about how much my hands and feet have been involved. And so we're reevaluating what we're doing so that we can focus and not, and our calendars not be so overbooked.
Well, so, yeah, and I'm excited that, you know, you brought Communities Under the Bridge here. Valerie Nadavaya is executive director and Dominique Yanez, executive administrator, because, you know, this is something that we should all be a part of. Mm-hmm. I don't care if you're Catholic, Methodist, mm-hmm. whatever. Mm-hmm. But we should all be, you know, joining together, which is why, you know, we're building awareness about this.
Yeah, and I want to thank you for doing that, because I know this is Catholic radio, but we are brothers and sisters in Christ, and this message needs to help people be aware of the need that we have down at the Cub, you know, whether it's volunteering or whether it's donating financially, mm-hmm. or what have you. We people come and go, and there's spots that need to be filled. And then when we don't have enough people, then the emphasis is put on, the onus is put on those people that are always there. And they lovingly do that. I know right. that when I first started about 3 years ago, well, we're just going to cook on Friday nights, and you know, soon to learn that you had to pay for your food, you had to be there to cook, you had to be there to clean.
Right.
We were feeding them every day. This was post-COVID. And then things changed, and we started feeding them three times a week. But the lady that started this, Diane Talbert, taught me so much. And I think the biggest takeaway I did receive from Diane was, we're there to feed their bodies, but more importantly, we're there to feed their souls. And
right.
that's important, right? Because you can have a full tummy but not know about the love of Jesus. And that is important, just like we're doing it, Radio for Your Soul here at Guadalupe Radio Network.
And it's so about saving souls.
It's about saving souls.
And getting souls to heaven. And
right.
I want to get into this conversation, this piece, but I want to bring in, you know, Valerie Nadavaya's, and you know, you're the executive director. You took over for Diane.
Hello.
And you know, I want you to come in, because Diane started this in 1996, right?
Yes, actually, yeah, the ministry started in 96. Diane has been running this ministry for a good maybe 15 years.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, since she was very a spiritual mother to me, to many.
Right.
Yes, and she left a very strong, powerful legacy.
And it started as Church Under the Bridge, right?
Yes, we were Church Under the Bridge, and then transformed into Communities Under the Bridge.
Right, and there's some, you know, I want our listeners to know, if as we're talking here, you know, some of our listeners are at their office or they're at home, mm-hmm. and so I want to invite them to your website, which is cub-sa.org.
Yes.
Cub-sa.org. Yeah, because y'all are doing some great things. I mean, y'all are a full-fledged organization that is helping the homeless out there. And I'm glad that you came on to build awareness. We'll talk about, you know, some other things, but I want to get in here. Dominique Yanez, also, who is the executive administrator. Tell us a little bit about what you do over there and how you came to be part of this wonderful, wonderful organization.
Well, you know, one of the things that I do and we all have in common at Cub is we are all wearing many hats at once. And, you know, Valerie, the executive director, she is somebody who is ground level, but also high level visioning, goal setting. Valerie has a very strong sense of people's needs, just even by seeing them. My role there is to really support the administrative side of it, where I say that Valerie pushes the gas, I'm the one who has to push the brakes.
The somebody has to do it. Somebody has to do it.
You know, but these roles have developed since last August when we started there. And
yeah.
I now see overshare worship space. We coordinate the volunteers who carry messages, who help in bag check and hospitality, who receive prayer. And in all of these things, you know, are the only scale we do these things at are through the heart of Jesus.
Right.
Right. And so, but it has been a remarkable, 8 months now at the ministry Everything we've learned about the volunteers who were already there, the new ones coming in, and definitely the people coming in off the streets who vote with their feet. They choose to be there, right? I mean, all of them. We have a captive audience of believers and seekers and even people who are probably not really strongly connected to their faiths at all, but we serve anyone who comes through that door. Right. Like you said, it doesn't matter if you're Catholic or Baptist or charismatic.
Right.
If somebody comes to the door without shoes, you ask, what's your shoe size? Not what's your denomination.
I like that point. Right? Yeah.
And you ask, can I pray with you?
Right.
You know, and if they say no, you pray for them when they leave.
Yeah.
Right? That's what we do there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you know, the whole goal is to get them back to self-sustaining lifestyles, right? I mean, they're homeless. They don't want to be homeless their whole life and die out on the streets. I mean, so that's what you're here for at Cub, is to get them back to a self-sustaining lifestyle. And so, what do you do over at Cub that helps them to get to that point? I mean, is there, you know, job help? Is there, what kind of help is there that you offer?
So there's different ways we can help our individuals. We like to refer to our friends or as neighbors, houseless neighbors.
Right.
And I say that because their perception of homelessness is different from us. We provide services, frontline services, right? But what we're seeking, we kind of see those things as spiritual gifts or offerings. For example, right. The meals that we offer, right? We're handing over and sharing a meal with you. But we're trying to say, you know, we see you, we love you, and we want a higher quality of life for you. What does that look like? That looks so different for different individuals. For one, it could be an identification card, a Texas ID, right? Again. Right. Or for someone else, it could be just talking to her daughter again that she hasn't talked to in 8 years, you know? So we're seeking that trust and relationship to see what that higher quality of life is or looks like for that individual.
And Diane Talbert, executive director, she passed, right? Was it last year?
She passed away in June.
Or in June of last year.
Yes.
And so, you know, she started this in 1996. And I was watching a video on your website, you know, and she was constantly seeking an army of believers to pray, cook, donate, and she called them special forces, right? And she was always asking for church or businesses to send troops. And isn't that what we're called for? I mean, Mama Gina or Dominic, either one of you could answer that one, or both of you. How about that?
Well, I don't know that I felt like a troop member, but Diane was military, and so she used her background like that. But I was once wearing a Special Force shirt that was handed out, and somebody told me, thank you for your service. And I'm
thinking, thought you were military.
How do I tell them I wasn't military, but I am a Special Force? Well, my husband will say I'm a force to be reckoned with, but, you know, I am a Special Force. I am. I mean, we're on the front line with them. And to Valerie's, what Valerie mentioned about, you know, their idea of homelessness is not ours, and not everybody wants to be in a home, and not everybody can,
right?
Because of mental illness, or, you know, they're afraid to be around other people, and we still have to love on them and understand. And we're not here really to fix what we can't fix. We've got to let the Lord. It's like our little thing, you know, you catch them and God will clean them, right? Yeah. When we're fishing for people to go on retreat. And so all we're doing is being the front lines. As Dom said, you know, they may not want us to pray with them, but we pray in our hearts and we lift them up, our homeless brothers and sisters in Christ. Some of them aren't even religious, but they come in for the food, but that's all right. You know, seeds are being planted.
Well, when you and Stephen got here, he said that he was talking to an older gentleman who he had a rosary, but it was broken.
Yeah. And so, you know, because we have different faiths that come in through Stephen was meant to be there that day so he could say, Mama Gina, can you make him a rosary or can you fix his rosary? And of course I can, you know. So we do those things. And again, it's an ecumenical setting. We're not trying to be there to force anybody into a faith, regardless to its Catholic or some Protestant. We're there to love on them. I've learned that.
Yeah.
And they really want you to look them in the eye and treat them like, you know, they're human. They're here. They want to be seen. And I'm a very empathetic, compassionate person, and I want to be fixing something. But I've learned that I take a step back and let God take control and let the people that have the experience, like Valerie or Dom, do those things. I'll be there to support them wherever I can. And it's just really important that I think the bottom line is they feel like they've been seen and loved. We're just not putting food down on a table and saying, here, eat and leave.
Yeah.
You know, it's a time to fellowship or smile or, you know, I was not in that environment. I've never been in that environment. Thank God. Now, Valerie has a great story. And I tell you, this is her journey got her to where God says, I'm going to use you because of your journey.
Right, right. Yeah. And, you know, Valerie and I here, we both have been through homelessness. We have experienced poverty. We have experienced these things. And Valerie will tell her own story. I won't tell it for her. But
yeah.
I think if there's something for a person listening right now to understand homelessness, they should know these things. On any given night in San Antonio and Bexar County, there's between 3,000 and 4,000 people experiencing homelessness.
Wow.
And that's powerful, right? That's huge. And we know
that's a lot of people.
A vast many of them are 24 years old and younger. So children and young adults make up a huge portion of that. Right. Family homelessness is consistently the fastest growing form of homelessness. But who we see at Cub is a little different. There's an estimated about 600 people in our community that are called chronically homeless, meaning that they present some kind of disabling condition, either mental or physical.
Right.
They might deal with substance abuse issues. You see the sickness in them when they present. And these are the folks who do not respond to interventions that are available in our community.
Right.
They have not fallen through the cracks. The safety net was not designed for that kind of person.
Sure.
What we do at Cub is we ensure that in a very odd place between Interstate 37 and a bunch of railroad tracks, look what a bunch of believers can do.
Wow.
That people who have almost no path in this world can find a place that they can receive meritless love that we've all received.
Yeah.
No matter who you are. And you know, our people, I have a saying there now. It's like, look, if you love a porcupine, you're going to get quills in you.
I like that.
And you have to be, and it's beautiful to know people who know how to get under your skin.
Yeah.
Because strangers can't do that. Your neighbors, your brothers, your siblings can definitely do that for you. And our brothers and sisters who present at Cub definitely know how to get under my skin some days. And you know, when they do, you pull the quills out, you say, I love you. I'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'll see you Friday night. I'll see you Tuesday. Right? Because
love
keeps no record of wrongdoing.
Yeah.
We don't do that there. And it's a place where you have to be the kind of person who will get their heart broken often.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe it is through that sorrowful mystery that we see the work really taking firm holding in Scripture and in God's blessings in our lives.
Wow, that's beautifully said, Dom. I love it. And if you're just tuning in, we're 23 minutes into the program, and we're talking to Communities Under the Bridge, or they call it Cub, talking to Miss Mama Gina Cartwright from St. Jerome, who brought in Valerie Advias, Executive Director, and Dominic Yanez, also known as Dom Yanez. He's the Executive Administrator. So I just want to let everybody know who we're talking to, because they tune in. They're like, who are these people? What are they doing? So Valerie, let's talk about, you know, when you first came on board, or you first got introduced to Communities Under the Bridge. What was that like? And did you ever envision actually being the Executive Director?
No, I did not envision that. I did not honestly envision doing this kind of work ever in my life, if you would have told me when I was younger. But it's such an honor to be with Cub. It's full circle transaction for me in my relationship with God. I was introduced to Cub a good 10 years ago when I started street outreaching with people experiencing homelessness.
Ah, okay.
About 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And like Dominic was saying, the population that we serve who is very ill, who fall through the cracks, who do not fit the mold for some places, you know.
Yeah.
And I was outreaching to those individuals, and that's when I met Mama Diane at the time. And it was during a really cold freeze, and she was sheltering folks inside of her sanctuary. And these were individuals I could not get into other places, and I would bring them to her.
Yeah.
This was in my early years of myself, you know, overcoming homelessness and addiction. And so in my earlier years, in serving that way, I also fell in love with Cub, and I fell in love with their mission. Yeah. I fell in love with the way that Diane loved. It was like I was meeting Jesus.
Wow.
And I started bringing my boys to volunteer there. So even though I was working for another great nonprofit, right? Like, this is where I would come to volunteer because I just wanted to experience that.
That is, that's incredible how, the Lord just paves your path and says, you're going to serve me in this capacity. And for both you and Dom to be able to identify, you can identify with everybody who comes through that door. That's looking for a meal. That's looking for a warm bed. And every time it freezes over in San Antonio or it rains real hard I always pray for the homeless that are out there that they find shelter and for pets. And that it's like something, St. Francis, I'm like, St. Francis, take care of your pets out there. And so, you meet a wide variety of people that come through that door. And so tell me about a story of somebody who came in and, just took to Cub and said, I want to make my way out of this homelessness. How do I do that? What do y'all provide support in those terms?
I could give you specific stories.
I know you probably have a ton of them. Yeah.
Man. Again, it goes back to that trust. And I can share something really recent, right, Elizabeth? And this is one of my favorite services that we offer when we shelter overnight for inclement weather. And this last freeze that we had, and Diane would shelter, but she had never done this, like where you stay open for 24 hours a day, seven.
Oh, wow.
We took a leap of faith, and so for 7 days straight, because right. It was cold during the day for them.
Yeah.
And there's a very ill woman who I know. Again, I've worked and volunteered for many different nonprofit organizations. I am very involved. And she will not go to any of them. She's actually banned from other places. And she gave us a shot that week. And it was not easy. I'm talking about someone who is severely ill, schizophrenic, scared, angry, all of the things.
Yeah.
Substance, withdrawing. And it was a hard week. At the end of the week, what she shared with Dom was just pivotal to me. She came back to us and she said that Dom might even be able to quote it better, but that she had never...
Cub is the only church I'm not mad at right now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's everything to me.
Yeah.
Shooting for that trust that she knows that there is a safe place in this world
right.
that she can come to, that she will be loved and not judged and cared for. And I had a girl the other day that I love very much, and her daughter calls me every month just wondering if that's the day. Is that the day that my mom wants to talk to me? Sometimes she will, sometimes she won't.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know if that answers. That does.
I mean, and what it lends itself to is, the heart that you have to have a strong heart, because you see so many walks of life and so many situations. And like you said, schizophrenia, yeah. drug addiction, and, they come there to maybe dry out from alcohol, Yeah. And so y'all are dealt with a lot, Dom. And so you have to have the graces of God to be able to get up every day and face whatever situation the Lord is calling you on. Am I right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, every day you must lead with the cross, right?
Yeah.
You must pray. Prayer is at the center of before we have a meeting, right? I mean, we're having like a Zoom meeting, and we need to start with prayer. We're starting a planning session, start with prayer. Before we hold a sanctuary service where there's going to be lots of prayer, stop and pray.
Yeah. Right?
And that ongoing conversation where God is at the center of it, it must be at the core of your ministry. It cannot be an afterthought. It can't even be just the framework. It's the whole foundation. It's the whole structure.
Right.
And I mean, and we see this happen, and we're very careful to use terms like results or outcomes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And my bureaucratic past, that was all what we did, right? Deliverables
yeah.
and returns on investment. You cannot measure a return on investment when somebody comes and experiences a true gospel message and very slowly and incrementally you see change in them, right?
Right.
And the Holy Spirit is working through them. But I mean, I'll tell you, people who came during winter shelter who were new to us, they keep coming back. And wow. And they I will share, they have told us, I'm reading the Bible daily now. I am.
Whoa.
Yeah. We, one of, there is a gentleman here who's come to and from Cub for years now. He has a job where he goes on the roads, but when he's in San Antonio, you know, he makes the rounds to different ministries and churches for support. Right. And during winter shelter, he was holding his own Bible studies. He was coming to the sanctuary services, you know, heard there are preaching there, and he was doing that. And one day, and if you can imagine what like a pastoral care visit looks like for someone in the streets, you're not going to a home, right? You're going to a park. You're maybe going to a coffee shop. Sure. Lucky for us, we went to a coffee shop, and the manager there, I officiated her wedding last year.
Oh, so that's nice.
So told the family. Yeah. And we had a conversation, and he told me that I've been having dreams that I'm at a microphone, and I'm talking about God to a group of people.
Whoa.
And, you know, Valerie and I, we talk about this, that, you know, at Communities Under the Bridge, we're oftentimes people's first chances at things.
Yeah.
And he made the commitment, and we talked about it. We discerned it. It's like, you've got a call, and before you get back on the road, how would you like to practice? On March 8th, he carried the message of Jesus in the wilderness to about 60 people. Wow. His peers of the streets.
Yeah.
Our partners. Oh, and he was
He's evangelizing.
He was so good. And I mean, it's just, you cannot serve Jesus at people. We must share in the victory of Christ together. We are all forming together.
Sure.
And to see, like, this place, it has been graced with the ability to ensure that when someone comes and presents an authentic spiritual call in their life, that we are in a position now to be able to respond to that and to see disciples made.
Wow. Beautifully said, Dom. That was beautiful. Inspirational. Mama Gina, you had a thought?
Yeah, well, you mentioned pets. You know, pets, I want to tell you, we do more than the food and the worship service, because we have needs. And a lot of the homeless brothers and sisters have pets that love them unconditionally.
Yeah.
And I've watched them feed their pets before they eat themselves. And so we
that,
offer,
I believe that, yeah.
Yes, yeah. Because that's their love, right? But we offer the pets food, that we even offer clinics sometimes where vets will come in, or a veterinary clinic will come in.
Right.
Sometimes we have a group of dentists that might come in and do some check on their teeth and, uh-huh. you know, those kind of things. So it's not just the food and the praise and worship. And there's more outreach that we do, girls talk. And I don't know what to call the men's, Dom.
Just men's fellowship.
Men's fellowship. Yeah. I knew.
Okay,
we're women. But so they're it's not there just on Sunday, Tuesday, and Fridays, you know. And I have to mention those wonderful kitchen leads that are there, who not only work during the day, but then come and work at night, you know.
Yeah.
Taria and Casey and Michelle and Miss, I see her, Sharon, you know. I'm not certain, am I missing a kitchen lead?
Angie.
Oh, that's right. Oh, my gosh, Angie, please forgive me. But, you know, they dedicate their time so much. Oh, yeah. And then we do hand out clothing. And, you know, you think about, you and I have socks and underwear and shirts and jeans. And
sure.
My closet was probably, I mean, I feel really selfish and really, I don't know what's the other, guilty about having too much. So if I buy something new, I give away three things.
Yeah.
And my community will say, Mama Gina, I have a bag of clothes. My mother just died. And instead of telling them, hey, go down there, I say, yeah, I'll come pick it up.
Yeah.
You know, I'd rather make it easier for them to donate. And I lovingly do that. And man, we've gotten some suits and some really nice jackets.
Yeah.
But how many of us are gluttonous in our clothing? You know,
sure.
Do I really need that much?
We don't need that much, but the other thing I want to bring up is that over at I want to get into how, you know, those out there can donate their time. How do you get your group involved? You know, there's you know, your business, but I want to talk about over at, you know, the address where you're at across the street. I think y'all had bought out, or Diane had bought the property across the street. Is that right? For to wash clothes and cut hair. Is that still there?
Yes, so we do have a pretty spacious campus, and yes, we are transitioning right now. And so we do offer an array of services. One of my favorite things about that space that we have now, again, I've worked at many nonprofits over the past 10 years, and I am a barrier breaker. Any gaps in the system, I want to fill it in, right?
Sure.
And so what I've realized in coming over to CUB, and one of my favorite things about CUB is that the outdoor space that we have, we're able to utilize that, especially on Saturdays, which are our mission Saturdays.
Right.
So I love that we're able to tell anybody in our community to come over to our space on Saturdays. We've got some really huge ministries that serve on our campus, and they are serving there outside. They are providing things like hot food, haircuts, medical, clothing. So we're able to tell, you know, downtown stakeholders, other community members, hey, just bring them, get them to our campus on Mission Saturdays, and even on Sundays when we have our services. That outside space for us is so important because we have individuals, we even have Foxhole Ministries that comes every Saturday ritually. We've tried to actually move their ministry inside of our sanctuary. And the numbers dropped. They will not come inside.
They want to be outside.
They want to be outside. So that outside space is so sacred to us. And so they can come to that space.
Dom, let's talk about, you know, how people can get involved, right?
So there are a number of ways to get involved with Communities Under the Bridge. And I mean, the first one, and I'll say this one first so we can get past it quickly. It's always the most uncomfortable conversation, is funding, right?
Donating.
We can all give out of our abundance, even out of our poverty. And that has been modeled for us. But monetary donations are really critical to an organization like ours because, I mean, we have to make a lot of decisions. I mean, tomorrow I'm going in to fix a toilet, right? We're going to get wood polish for the paneling, right? There's a lot of facility needs and everything. And there's just a lot of needs, just the ways we have to pivot and respond to an emergency.
Right.
I mean, that's part of our stewardship. But now that we've gotten the money talk over, the big one too is volunteers, right? If you have kitchen experience and you like to cook and you want to cook for 120 to 160 people and with a great team, and not because you're, like I said, we're not giving food at people. We are sharing. We are communing in that space. And I think that's a big one, too. You can get involved by donating clothing. You can be involved by also in our worship services. We need prayer partners during our services. Big need for volunteers is we need AV help, right? That's a skilled labor. You being on radio and, you know, me having a background in audio production, I know that is skilled labor and it is hard to find that donated. But if we can even be connected to someone who can help us with our audiovisual needs, we like to stream our services, right? We like to do that. We want to be able to record those special moments, like somebody from the street preaching for the first time, right? That is part of the stewardship of our history as an organization.
Sure.
Prayer partners, back check. And I think back check is one of our most intense parts of the ministry. Yeah. It's under the umbrella of hospitality. And if you imagine somebody comes in and they hand you a backpack, they're not going to carry it with them throughout the facility or the sanctuary or the dining hall. Mm-hmm. They're handing you either everything they own, and that's it, or everything that was important enough to carry and not leave at their tent. And that level of trust right there for someone walking in, even for the first time, huge.
Yeah.
We don't even open their bag.
Wow.
Trust, right? And there are so many ways to be involved at CUB. If people would like to reach out to know more about that, I would like to direct them to the website, cub-sa.org. Yeah. And either they want to volunteer for clothing or food, or usually what I say, Jesus food and clothes, right?
I like that.
Mother Teresa said, just do simple things with great love.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? I'm so excited that Mama Gina, you brought in Valerie and, you know, you coordinated this, and Dom, and, you know, you're an active volunteer over there. We have like 1 minute left. Mm-hmm. And I just want to thank y'all for coming in the studio and bringing awareness to what you're doing out there. And I think it's going to benefit. Hopefully, you know, God is going to, you know, make sure that you are taken care of out there. So, Mama Gina, thank you.
You're welcome. You know, 10 seconds here. If you cannot volunteer physically, there's other things you can do. And so we have a donation station at our church. that we turn in so they don't have to do something more, you know, those simple things. Call me. I have ideas.
You got it. Cub-SA.org. We'll be right back. Sit tight.
Would you like to grow in your knowledge of the Catholic faith and sacred scripture while learning in a welcoming online interactive community with trusted instructors alongside fellow students? The GRN Academy's next session of classes begins the week of April 13th with instructors Monsignor Charles Pope, Julie Carrick, Vanessa Denha-Garmo, Zach Allen, and Dave Palmer. To see the full list of classes being offered through the GRN Academy and to register, visit grnonline.com/academy. That's grnonline.com/academy.
Greetings to you. This is Bishop Gary Yonick of the Archdiocese of San Antonio. Please join me in praying for vocations. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. God our Father, we thank you for calling men and women to serve in your Son's kingdom as priests, deacons, and consecrated persons. Send your Holy Spirit to help others to respond generously and courageously to your call. May our community of faith support vocations of sacrificial love in our youth and young adults. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Working in a remote location without easy access to the sacraments and our Catholic Church, particularly if you're in the military, Catholic Radio provides both spiritual and community connection. It allows you to pursue growth in your faith and to understand God's plan for your life. It gives hope to seekers and Catholics wherever you are. This is retired Vice Admiral Steve Stanley. I encourage you to listen to Guadalupe Radio Network. Visit grnonline.com to learn more. Connect today.
I often joke about having a love-hate relationship with the media, even with the publication I co-founded and co-published for 16 years. But as Christians, we're called to make no room for hate in our hearts. There's joy in the work I've done, but also frustration. That's why I've often offered my Eucharist for those who have hurt me over the years, trusting God to heal what I cannot. Scripture reminds us that we are in the world, but not of it. We're called to be set apart, to conform our minds to Christ, and to love even our enemies. Sometimes I feel like I'm doing the hokey pokey, one foot in the secular world and one foot in ministry. It's exhausting. Yet being a Christian means carrying Christ wherever we go. That's when love trumps hate, and truth shines brighter than bias. Scripture says, "My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one." My coach's question is this: how are you living in the world, but not of it? This has been Epiphany Insight. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo, a communications evangelist.
And welcome back, everyone. Wow, what a great conversation that was with Mama Gina Cartwright. Thank you, Steve Cartwright, for bringing in Mama Gina. And Mama Gina, thank you for bringing in Valerie Narvaez, Executive Director over at Communities Under the Bridge, or CUB, Communities Under the Bridge. What a great conversation. And was also joined by Dom Yanez. He's the Executive Administrator. And so if you want more information, like they said, go visit their website, cub-sa.org. cub-sa.org. So I want to thank them for coming in, and also want to remind everybody, this is a huge deal. I can't say this enough on the air, because I want everybody to know that there is a priestly ordination for the Archdiocese of San Antonio, and it's going to be on Saturday, April 18th at 10 a.m. at St. Mark the Evangelist Catholic Church. Deacon Luis Alonso de la Cruz, Deacon Luis Horacio Gomez Bustamante, and Deacon Jose Edgar Hernandez Suarez. This is awesome. That's going to be awesome. It's a priestly ordination. I want to make sure everybody is aware of that. And if you've never been to a priestly ordination, I've been to a couple. They are so beautiful. I guarantee you, you will not regret going because it is just incredible. Okay, so next I would like to bring in my next guest. He's a good friend of the Guadalupe Radio Network. And he comes on probably two or three times a year and brings priests, the twins. He does a lot of stuff. He's also our chief Saint Michael, the archangel relic friend. And, you know, he gets relics from Gardano, Italy. We're going to talk about that. But Bobby Contreras, how you doing?
I'm great. Thank you for having me. Yes.
I got the camera on you, Bobby, but, you know, we were talking about Father Presakevich, right?
That's Peter Presakevich.
Yeah, he was supposed to be here, Father Peter Presakevich. He was supposed to be here. He got delayed out of LAX, and his connecting flight, I guess, was not able to make it here on time this morning. Yeah, you know, and our priests, they go, I mean, they travel, and, you know, things like this happen.
Yes.
But I'm glad you were able to still come in and talk about what Father Peter is going to be doing here in San Antonio. Let's talk about that because tomorrow he's at St. Helena, right?
Yep.
And then he's at St. James. Tell us a little bit about why he's here and who is Father Peter.
Sure. So Father Peter is a beautiful, prolific preacher, first and foremost. He is from Poland. He's Polish.
Right.
And he's been a priest for almost 40 years.
Oh, wow.
He's a personal friend of mine, but he could be anybody's friend. He's, you know, very jovial, very happy.
Yeah.
He gets to travel out throughout the whole world. He's a missionary priest for the order of the Michaelite order.
Oh, okay.
And they are also the custodians of the famous cave in Monte Gargano, Italy.
Right.
So he does a lot of promoting with the angels, talks about the hierarchies of all the angels. St. Maria Faustina, their founder, Father Blessed Branislav Markovich. So, you know, he works with different types of groups of people, from exorcists to people who are just learning their faith, learning about their guardian angel, learning about the angels, learning about, you know, because it goes in stages, you know, as you see. You know, the Lord, you know, brought me personally from little steps to now these steps that I'm taking now to for the glory of his of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So Father Peter's just a great instrument, a piece of our group of the church that we can utilize that would be, I recommend, beneficial to see him.
And, you know, we want to invite everybody to go out to St. Helena tomorrow from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. He's going to be at St. Helena.
Yes.
And then he's going to be, let's see, on Wednesday, tomorrow's Tuesday, Wednesday the 15th, he's going to be at St. James in Seguin from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. Now, let's tell everybody what he's going to be speaking about. It looks like he's going to be talking about the missions of, about St. Faustina, Divine Mercy, St. Michael, and the angels. Mm-hmm. This is going to be a fully packed talk that he's doing.
It usually is. I get there early. He's doing confession too.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay, yeah. So if it starts from at 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., what time is he doing confession?
I mean, he'll probably get there about, I'd say, 30 minutes earlier.
Okay.
But people get there early anyway.
Oh,
I recommend that they go early just to save a good spot. If they want to leave early, they stay, get a spot up in the front pew.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they can get prayed over first. But Father Peter basically talks about consecration to St. Michael. He talks about consecration to your guardian angel.
Right.
He talks about what he travels with, the angelic stones. Everyone is needed. Everyone should have one. So basically, he encompasses everything that the church teaches and more, and emphasizes more on the angels and who the angels are working with. You know, they work with everybody, of course, but specifically, you know, the chief angel number one, who's Saint Michael.
Yeah. And, you know, he talks a lot. He's going to talk a lot about, you know, St. Michael, Divine Mercy. Now, how does he know so much about St. Maria Faustina's sisters?
Sure. So he was their chaplain for 5 years.
Oh, okay.
So he, in fact, has met some people or some nuns that knew St. Maria Faustina when she was very young.
You're kidding
yep,
me.
No joke.
Whoa.
Yep.
Unbelievable. So he was their director chaplain for 5 years.
Yes.
And so he met them when he was in Poland.
Yeah, because they're in Poland.
Okay.
Their home base is in Poland.
Their home base. Right. Yeah, their church.
They're Polish.
So he's a, you called him he's a traveling priest, right? So that's a missionary.
Missionary priest, yes.
And so how many times a year does he come to the U.S.?
I'd say between 3 and 4.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So will there be items from Father Peter, his religious order, that
of
people
course.
Can purchase?
Cause just like you, I just got you to anoint yourself with the holy oil of St. Michael.
Yes.
He will have that. He will have all these beautiful rosaries with the relics on them.
Oh, and they're beautiful, too.
Third class relics. And then from the cave, of course. Authenticity cards, consecration
you
cards.
You know, the cave rock he gave me, when I first started here at Guadalupe Radio, mm-hmm. 2.5, I'm going on 3 years
beautiful.
In June.
Yes.
And you came in, you're like, here, you're going to need this.
Yes.
And you're going to want to have this on you at all times.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, were you right?
Yes.
And I have it right here in front of me, and I carry it every day in this little pouch.
Amen.
And so, you know, one thing I thought about, Bobby, I never got one for Patty, my wife. I gave one to Stevie when we dropped him off at Loyola in Chicago.
Yes.
But Patty doesn't have, I need to get one for Patty.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so it's a beautiful thing to have, Bobby come in. And, you know, is he also he's going to have the relics of stones, rosaries, and he's got books too as well, right?
He's got all these beautiful books. I mean, you name it. It's there in Spanish and English. Consecration to Saint Michael,
and there's he's going to do he's got a scapular he can enroll people in.
Yes, investiture.
He's going to do an enrollment.
Yes.
Oh
yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay.
That's part of the whole deal. So
yeah, the scapular. I got enrolled through Father Ken Geraci at our retreat, and I'm wearing it right now.
Amen.
It's on me.
Yeah.
So he's going to be doing that at the at Saint Helena and at Saint James.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, that's going to be awesome. And let's see. And then you brought some holy oil from, is that from Italy as well?
Yes, it's from Poland. It's from his religious order.
Okay.
The nuns make it, just like the nuns make all the beautiful rosaries that they're going to have.
Yeah.
They make, different ones. And of course, different ones for different people. Like this rosary right here has the stone on it.
Oh, yeah, look
and
at
then,
that.
And then this other rosary right here is a third-class relic. It's got, you see that in the back? So these are all the ones.
There's a St. Michael relic right here, the stone.
The stone's on there,
It's on the rosary.
And the nuns make all this stuff.
It's
not made in China, I promise you.
Yeah, no, it's made by beautiful hands.
Yes.
Wow, this is beautiful. Yeah. I need to get one of these.
Yes.
Okay, so this is going to be exciting, and I want to remind everybody because we have probably about 5 more minutes to talk about this, but Father Peter Presakevich.
Yes.
Presakevich is going to be here in San Antonio. He would have been here in studio, but he got delayed out of LAX. He's going to be giving talks, missions about St. Faustina, the Divine Mercy, St. Michael, the cave in Gardano, Italy. And he's going to talk about angels, too.
Yes.
I got to throw that in because that's going to be exciting. He's talking about angels, and it's going to be he's here Tuesday, tomorrow, the 14th, from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
You want to get there early at St. Helena. And you want to get there early because he's also going to hear confession.
Right.
So if you're in the area, if you're at St. Helena, we want to sell that out.
And what I recommend to you, too, is that if you get there early, then you'll be able to make a donation for these items he has.
Oh, gotcha.
Because a lot of times he'll run out.
Yeah.
He won't have enough. He was in California and he was all over California, rather.
Right.
So whatever he has, hopefully he has enough left over because he's got like 4 stops here in South Texas. But a lot of times, honestly, he sells out of all this stuff.
Yeah. But in San Antonio, he's just going to be at St. Helena tomorrow and St. James and Seguin Wednesday. Yeah.
So, I mean, that's, you know, Seguin to me is another part of San Antonio. It's not
that far. Right down the street.
It's not that far away. So if you want to see him first and be a part of this beautiful event, you will be amazed by the Lord.
And there's going to be the large relic rock from the St. Michael Cave.
Yes. So all these relics you have here, they'll all be there.
Okay.
Yes.
So all the relics you brought into the studio, I love it.
Yeah. And
I'm going to touch every single one.
And the first class of St. Maria Faustina. So.
Wow, this is inspirational. And, you know, Bobby, it's always a pleasure having you on. And, you know, you bring the father twins,
Father Martin and Father Felipe.
Yeah, Father Martin and Father Felipe are awesome.
Thank you.
And they've sat here in this studio, and it's a pleasure, you know, having them every year, you know. Yes. And I can't wait to hear, and I know you're going to tell me about how this goes, but I want to remind everybody to get out to St. Helena tomorrow.
Yes.
And that's going to be Tuesday the 14th from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., and then Wednesday from 5:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m., St. James in Seguin. And he's going to talk about how he knew St. Maria Faustina's sisters, right?
Yeah. He covers a lot of bases. You know, he gets moved by the Holy Spirit to speak, do different things at different parishes.
Yeah.
But this is a win-win situation. You would definitely be blessed to partake in this, not only in just, of course, the Holy Mass, but also this other part of the tools of the church. The Lord has left us beautiful tools to utilize, to be strengthened by, and to be utilized, and it's there for the taking. So I promise you, I guarantee you, that as I've had personal testimony with St. Michael and my guardian angel and St. Maria Faustina, you can too. Yeah. Please take advantage of this time, this opportunity.
And so, Father Presakevich, if you want more information on him, you could go to his website.
Right.
It's www.stmichaeltheArchangel.info.
Right.
One easy.
Word. ST, yep.
stmichaeltheArchangel.info. Bobby, thank you again.
Thank you.
And hopefully everybody can go out and see Father. But loved having everybody. Thank you for your listenership. We love you guys. Have a great week.
Beacon of truth in a troubled world. This is the Guadalupe Radio Network, radio for your soul.
St. John's Catholic Church in Hondo will be having a Rosary Run 5K on Saturday, April 25th at 8 a.m. The 5K begins and ends at the parish hall. Registration fee is $25, and to guarantee a t-shirt, you must register by April 10th. Late registration and on-site registration will be available, but there will be a limited number of shirts. To register, visit stjohnshondo.com. That's stjohnshondo.com.
Clark Cardis, colon and rectal surgeon and fellow in the American College of Surgeons, is proud to be a sponsor of the Great Catholic Programming on KJMA. He's a member of Catholic Charities Medical Advisory Board and Catholic Physicians Guild of San Antonio and provides care for colon cancer, diverticulitis, Crohn's disease, ulcerative colitis, and those embarrassing lumps, bumps, aches, and pains. For more information on his offices in the Medical Center, Westover Hills, or Stone Oak, please call 210-614-0880.
I had never heard of Guadalupe Network Radio. And I cannot tell you how excited we are to learn about this fabulous radio station. I downloaded the app, and I've been listening since yesterday and today, and I'm just very excited. I'm just so thrilled that we have this wonderful tool in our toolbox to learn more about our Catholic faith. I just can't thank you all enough.
Well, as a teenager, I didn't really see how relevant religion was in my life. In my early 20s, I began to look at other faiths. Well, I understand as a Catholic that the things that I was given at a very early age, those things never ended. They're still with me. that's what drew me back. Because the Catholic Church is worldwide, there are so many different types of people that come to the church, and it's a place where I feel accepted for who I am. I'm where God wants me to be, and I feel like my life can be used for what He wants now. And when I came back, I said, Lord, You were waiting for me the whole time with Your arms open wide, and I have come home.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church for whatever reason, we invite you to take another look. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.
Thanks for listening to KJMA 89.7 Floresville, San Antonio on the Guadalupe Radio Network in South Texas. Catholic radio for your soul.
Catholic radio for your soul.
Heard also streaming on grnonline.com and on your smartphone.